This episode is brought to you by the Arvada Center, because they're kicking off their summer concert series in June. Relax under the stars at the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater and take in acts like Melissa Etheridge, Big Richard, Tower of Power, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, The Spin Doctors, and so much more. Concerts are scheduled for June through September. You can find a whole schedule of events and get your tickets today at arvadacenter.org. That's arvadacenter.org.
Today on CityCast Denver, I ate one of the best meals of my entire life last spring at a buzzy spot downtown called Bruto. Chef Michael Diaz de Leon was new-ish to the city, but he was making waves. There was the James Beard nod, a spot on the New York Times list of best American dishes of 2023 for his bread course of all things, and then finally, a Michelin star. But then Michael quit. So as he returns to Denver this month with a new pop-up, I sat down with him to ask why he walked away and what's next. Today's Thursday, March 7th. I'm Paul Caroli in for Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about. Michael Diaz de Leon, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Thank you for having me.
So, Michael, why'd you walk away from a Michelin star?
Right into it, huh?
Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, everybody. It seems to be the question of the year. You know what? Like, to be fair, like, I was already going to step away from the restaurant and at the end of the year, and we had had some big conversations with ownership, and the Michelin just happened to be a very big cherry on top of a big 3 years. And I'm very proud of the work that we did there. And I was already planning on stepping down. So I just, there was an option to stay. It just didn't make sense for many reasons. And it was just time for me to go. Yeah.
So were you feeling burnt out on the fine dining thing, or just itching for your own adventure, or what?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things. You know, a lot of people don't recognize how much work goes into building a Michelin star restaurant and how many hours chefs put in. And, you know, I would be naive to say that I wasn't burned out. And I also have a burning desire to continue to grow. And the next step in my career is to have a seat at that table and make it all worthwhile, you know. And I want to see it through, and I want to see what my brand can do on its own, and continue to push my food, my people, my community, and my art.
Tell me, before we move on to your new thing that I'm sure you're opening your own place soon, but you talked about what it takes to win a star, a Michelin star. I'm not sure I understand that. Tell me some details. Like, you're talking about long weeks, but like, what specifically were you putting yourself through?
I mean, it's consistently just being obsessed with being better, right? From service standpoint, to food standpoint, to sourcing, to sustainability, to having the conversations with the farmers, to waking up at, you know, 6:30 to be at a farm at 7:30, to then go take management meetings and then be in the kitchen by 12, and then prepping all day, and then running service, closing down the restaurant, getting home at midnight, showering, doing it all over again the next day, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, when, you know, you're the only salaried employee, people call in sick.
You were the only salaried employee at Bruto?
No, not anymore. Not after we found success.
But there was a time.
But there was a time. It was a small business. It was an 18-seat chef counter that was trying to establish its identity during a world pandemic. It was insane.
Yeah.
Not only that, I was new to the Denver community. Nobody knew who Michael Diaz de Leon was.
Right, because you moved here in 2019, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, you talk about just the constant desire to just continue to build something that you know in your heart is going to work out, but it's going to require hard work, right? So the growth of that restaurant was exponential and very proud of it, but it did require a lot of work. And obviously, I didn't do it all by myself. I would be selfish to say that I did. I had the help of, like, the restaurant group, obviously, that led the way, and, you know, they put the resources behind me to do it, but and then the incredible staff that I had, and that's what got us to where we are. But
interesting. You know, you're talking about hard work. I think there's a lot of people in the restaurant industry that work really hard, but not everyone wins a Michelin star. What do you attribute to taking that next step or finding that level of precision or that level of inspiration?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a culmination of everything that we did in the last 3 years and also my career, right? Like I've always been a chef, a creative, an artist that just craves more, you know, and that mentality has always pushed me to be better for myself, for my family, for my friends, my community. And also, you know, right time, right place, you know, just happened to be that Michelin was coming to town and we were one of the restaurants that was pushing fine dining and sustainability and great food and culture and deliciousness. So
It's interesting. You're kind of downplaying it a little bit. I wonder, do you remember the controversy around the Michelin stars, whole, like the aspect of the funding, where it came from, was the tourism agencies paid for these Michelin guides to come to specific areas. And if you didn't pay, the guides didn't come. So you happen to be in an area where the Denver Tourism Board saw a benefit here. Do you have thoughts on the way that it's funded and how the acclaim gets distributed?
No, I mean, it's been around for, you know, the system has been around for a long time. I didn't build a system. I don't know the ins and the outs. I think we happen to be in the right place at the right time. And if the Denver Tourism Board decides to fund that for the city to be better and for tourism to thrive and for us to get some recognition as, you know, people that are doing really cool stuff in the city, like, I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah.
I also get the other side of it, right? Mm. Like I said, it's a double-edged sword with Michelin. A lot of great things that can come from it, but also a lot of pressure.
Right.
Maintaining the star, keeping the star. Like, it's a constant push, you know, and I can see both sides of it.
Let's talk about food a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm interested, you know, as you're putting together a restaurant concept in your mind, are you thinking about the food you want to cook or are you thinking about the food you think Denverites want to eat?
So I think it's a fine line. For me, it's mostly, you know, the food. We cook delicious food, first of all.
Okay.
I think that's kind of like at the forefront of everything. We cook delicious food that tastes good and makes you smile. Second to that, it's pushing the boundary of like what food looks like in Colorado, being sustainable and being resourceful with your local farmers, and then building something fun that's approachable. And then also for me, the biggest thing in Denver that I think that we're lacking is a little bit more culture. So making—
How so?
I just feel like there's so much room for improvement in regards to just having really amazing, culturally rich restaurants that really honor other ethnicities, other cultures, other foods by chefs that are coming from different countries. You know, and I see that growing now, and I'm very excited for the next 5 years of Denver. But, you know, I have a lot of colleagues in this industry that are doing a really great job of putting those flavors, you know, forward, not just new American, you know?
Right. Like, I mean, there's certainly plenty of new American pubs and steakhouses and stuff.
And I
like
respect that. Don't get me wrong, but like, where's the Vietnamese restaurant that honors, you know, that family? And, you know, there's a lot of my colleagues that are doing a really amazing job right now. And I'm super stoked about it and really happy. And I hope that my restaurant continues to do that.
Mike, you're talking about a deficit of local culture and like culturally significant restaurants. Have you heard of a little place called Casa Bonita? Have you had the food? It's better now. That's what people say.
I have not had the pleasure of eating at Casa Bonita. I ate there when I was little. You know, I know the people who run that operation, and I'm stoked to see what's happening with that. And I'll stop in soon, and I'll give you an honest review.
We'll talk again.
Review.
I would love to hear your review.
This episode is brought to you by Pine Melon, the farmer's market delivered. Pine Melon is a next generation grocery delivery app that partners with over 200 farmers, ranchers, and producers in Colorado to help make fresh, locally sourced foods available to the Denver community at fair prices. Get high-quality meats, eggs, and dairy from small local farms, fresh baked breads from local bakeries, and more, as well as all of your favorite pantry staples. Best part is, Pine Melon offers same-day delivery to Denver and soon Boulder within a 2-hour window, no subscription necessary. Save time in your busy schedule and get fresh and healthy groceries delivered right to your door. Join the movement and support local today. Use promo code CityCastDenver for $75 off your first delivery at pinemelon.com. That's pinemelon.com.
You've kind of alluded to this. We talked about it a little bit. You left Brutto last year. Are you working on a new restaurant?
Yeah. So my primary goal with everything that's going on is to open my first flagship restaurant here in Denver.
Okay. That's good news. Cause you just got back from Tulum. I was like, you're not leaving town, are you?
No, that's also the besides why did you leave is, are you staying? That's the biggest thing. You know, Denver's my home. A lot of people know this, but for those who don't, I grew up here. Mm. So I spent, primary school, middle school here. And then I've been kind of going back and forth between here and Texas, which is my hometown of El Paso. And we moved here in 2019 and my family's here now. My in-laws are here. So if I decide to move, they're not going to be very happy. And I also love this community. I love the city. I love what we stand for. I love the growth. I feel like I can contribute to the Denver food scene for a while until I get tired and then pass the baton. But I'm here. I'm traveling because I think travel is one of the best things you can do as a chef. But the restaurant will be based in Denver.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. So Michael, the Michelin star, it's not the only one-star review you got last year. Bruno has 3 1-star reviews on Yelp right now. 3.
Done. On Yelp?
On Yelp.
Oh, okay.
There might be some other places, but yeah. That's pretty good. I mean, it's also,
not bad.
It's kind of great.
Not a fan of Yelp, but.
No? What do you think about it in general?
It's not, I don't know. It's not.
Not useful?
I don't think so.
What about as a customer? Do you not find yourself looking at those reviews?
No, not at all.
How do you find out about good stuff to eat?
Through the industry, friends, family. Yeah.
Okay.
Word of mouth. It's the best way to do it.
All right.
You know, and then you can put your own spin on it. But I'm not going to go out of my way because, I don't know, I didn't like the tip or whatever. Like, I think a lot of these people are just entitled, to be fair.
Maybe. Well, let's see. Can I read you a few of these?
Yeah, please do.
They're pretty fun.
I'm excited.
Here's one from Honest M. This is a 1-star review from 2023. Quote, as lousy a meal as perhaps I've ever had and at crazy prices, they serve carrots and forget to cut the tips off. Every single dish was terrible. Now the cocktails were excellent. Wine's overpriced, but okay. And service was great, except they had to explain all the ingredients and dishes that were simply not any good. I've been to many a Michelin-starred restaurant. This joint isn't even a decent hash house. Kudos to friendly and helpful service team.
Cool.
So it's actually some nice stuff in there.
No, I mean, there's great stuff. Yeah, the carrot. Yeah, we didn't cut the tops off. Yeah, I mean.
What do you make of that? Honestly, how do you interpret that as a chef? Like, obviously, that's a choice you made.
I mean, yeah, like, it's like we're there to showcase the carrot because it came from Esoterra Farms and it's a beautiful carrot where we want to showcase the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's edible. It's not like I'm giving you something that you're not going to be able to eat. Mm-hmm. That carrot also went through like probably 3 different steps before you even hit the plate. You know, there's a palate for everything. It is what it is.
They like the service.
Yeah, I mean, we had great service.
Apparently.
Cocktails are great.
All right, here's another one. This is from Lindsay M. 1-star, November 2021.
November 21. All right, I was there.
Okay.
That was me.
Lindsay says, this is the worst establishment in Denver. I've been here 3 times and never had a great time.
Wow.
It's the most unfriendliest staff you can find. There's a reason this business is almost always empty.
Okay. Well, clearly she was wrong because our books were full for months and months and months. Yeah. And Michelin star.
Yeah, I heard about that one. I like that she said she'd been 3 times, but
yeah,
she
just kept giving us her money. I was like, all right, thank you.
All right, here's my favorite one. This is from Tom W. from May 2022.
Okay.
Not even open, even though Yelp says it is. 0 stars. I need 34 more characters to post this.
Not even going to respond to that.
Yeah,
one.
You don't have to respond to that one. But tell me about where you like to eat. That's where I want to end this. Where do you like to eat?
Oh my God. Well, this is not just a plug, but Hop Alley, where I'm doing my new pop-up, is one of my favorite restaurants in town.
Yeah.
I ate at Sapsua last year and it was exceptional.
Sure. New Vietnamese place on Colfax.
I think that's getting better also.
Nice.
I'm very excited to try my colleague's new spot called Alma Lehi. It's in the Highlands. And he's doing some really fun regional Mexican food. And I'm hearing really good things, so I'm excited to go.
Cool.
I haven't been.
What's your colleague's name?
Johnny.
Johnny.
And his spot is called Alma.
Okay.
Fonda Fina.
Cool.
But I hear really good things from like literally everybody. And I'm not just blowing smoke up their asses. I hear good things. And I think that's the best compliment that you can get is when the industry starts talking about you, then that's when you know you're doing something right.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, Somebody's People is amazing too.
Oh, the vegan spot.
The vegan spot on South Broadway. Their food is super delicious. They do a really great job sourcing locally. Their wine selection is amazing. You know, I get asked this question a lot and I always blank and, you know, like my friends are like, why didn't you mention this spot? I was like, I'm so sorry. There's so many good spots in Denver.
All right. I'll help you out. I'll give you an either or here.
Yeah.
This is a question I like to ask any Denverite.
Yeah.
Chipotle or Illegal Pete's?
Neither.
Neither?
No.
You're not going anywhere close to either of them.
Nope.
Oh, Michael, the listeners are upset right now. They're just as upset as I am.
They're
going to
be like, Illegal Pete's. No. You don't put olives in, I don't know. I don't like olives in my Mexican food.
That's just Illegal Pete's. I don't think Chipotle does that.
Chipotle.
Okay. Chipotle?
Yeah.
All right. My man. you talked about the new thing you're doing at Hop Alley. Tell us more about that.
So we're doing a 4-week residency at Hop Alley. They built out this really beautiful 6-seat chef counter that they're activating themselves on the weekends. And we wanted to do something fun. I miss cooking in the city. It's only been 70 days, but I already miss it. So we decided to do a little 4-week pop-up, 6 seats per seating, 12 seats a night for 2 nights a week for 4 weeks. Very lucky that it sold out very quickly. We're just kind of showcasing some of the travels that we've been doing over the last 2 months, some new ideas and just looking forward to serving my friends and family and the Denver community.
Yeah, this taco omakase, it sounds like, is the idea here. What is that?
Yeah, so it's like I've always approached the counter as an omakase, meaning chef's choice, right? Mm-hmm. So we will change the menu every week. It's kind of like what we want to cook, how we want to approach things. We are going to have some tacos on the menu because I'm, you know, I try to honor that side of my family and that culture. And we make all of our own masa, you know, from corn and things like that. So there'll be a couple tacos on the menu, but also just really beautiful dishes, highlighting some of the producers here in town, some of the farmers, and then really good wine.
Cool.
And some agave spirits.
What's one you're particularly excited about?
Dish?
Yeah.
There's a few, but there's an all vegetable dish. It's not carrots. And we're not going to leave the tops on.
you got to remember to get those tops.
No, it's a vegetable dish with this really beautiful hybrid between like this curry. It's like a curry mole that we've been testing out. We just did it in Mexico. We had an event in Mexico City and we served it there and it had some success. So I'm excited to showcase it here. So it's like a mixture between a mole and a curry from Thailand.
How does that work?
So a mole traditionally is going to be a sauce that's made of a lot of ingredients, chilies, spices, herbs, nuts, dried fruits, etc. And then we are adding the addition of like, you know, the curry leaves and the fish sauce and the lemongrass, the ginger, the galangal, and kind of like fusing the two together. And it's going to be served with a beautiful root vegetable, whatever we can get our hands on. So the sauce itself should kind of like make you think about your life when you taste it.
So I feel Chipotle every time I go. That guacamole.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Gets me reflective. So Michael, it sounds like this new thing is sold out, but I know you're working on other pop-ups before the new restaurant is ready to go. Where, can I and listeners go to find out about those first?
Yeah. So obviously we do pretty much everything on social media. I think it's just like the best vehicle. And I do have a website. It's just michaeldiazdeleon.com. And then my Instagram is Michael, letter D, then Leon, L-E-O-N. And I usually post everything there that we do. It's pretty much word of mouth too. And just, you know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put all those links in our show notes.
I appreciate you. Yeah.
Michael Diaz de Leon, thanks so much for joining me.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute and tell Yelp reviewer Tom W. about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you then. I think I'll do one more, but I thought that one was fine.